Dafka Sefer Torah, v'gam Chumashim yesh lahachmir. And he says not only the Sefer Torah, but also with the Chumashim, you have to be careful to make a separation. Gemo b'Sefer Torah, just as with the Sefer Torah, avol b'shar sforim, but with other books, the dayim b'kisui b'anvi, all you have to do is just cover them. But the Sefer Torah and Chumash, you know, they have a special sanctity, and so therefore, you have to make a b'kisui. Correct. It has sanctity to it, but nevertheless, between the two, a Chumash is considered more. A little higher up in the hierarchy, shall we say, than the Siddur.
Right. Now, what do you do with the Siddur we have here, where they have the first section of the collection?
Okay, it's a good question. The answer is, so treat it with the same care. That's all. Treat it with the same care. Yeah, right. Treat it with the same care. All right, but as I say, that place was, we learned last week in connection with the completion of the third chapter. The next one is Tefillas
Lashon. You don't have to cover up the mezuzah.
No, you don't cover
the mezuzah.
First of all, the cover is already covering it.
What?
I mean, you realize that.
Yeah, I mean, there's a cover.
The parchment is inside, right, so that the cover of the mezuzah is the cover.
So it doesn't matter whether it's transparent.
No, it doesn't make any difference. It could be transparent.
So you can have glass doors.
Right, it could be plastic, it could be metal, it could be wood.
You could have glass doors for your ark, as it were.
Pardon me?
You are enclosed, you could have glass doors.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Right.
It must be a physical setting.
Because this is another thing that we had learned last week. There was a question.
What was the question?
If you have, let's say, you put the Sefer Torah in a china closet, okay? More correctly, frankly, you should put a curtain or something also over it. Of course, we learned the kli inside a kli, if you remember. Mm-hmm. So there should be at least two separate
windows. Right. I mean, it's transparent. Yeah. Right. It doesn't make any difference.
Yeah. Kli is a kli, if you remember. I mean, this is with the basic principle. All right.
So the cover of the Sefer Torah itself would be one cover.
The mantle.
That would be one.
Yeah.
And then you could put high medicine.
Then you put a mechitzo, or you put it into a box, a chest, mm-hmm. or something, you know. Yeah. Okay. Now, Tosfos over there goes back to the language of the mission. It says, Tefillas Hashachar al Chatzos, right? And then it says, Tefillas HaMincha ad Ha'er. Okay. So now they ask the following question. Yim Toma. And if he would say, Amai leketani gabe tefillas haminto kol hayon, if you ask the following question, why shouldn't we say, for example, in connection with tefillas mincha, you know, the shmonesrei mincha, that it could be all day long, kimo gabe tefillas hamisofim, just as we said in the case of Musaf. So the Yesh Lomar, one explanation is, the zman misofim dehu kol hayon, that true, the time of Musaf could be all day long, even from the time that the morning starts. Because sacrifices in the Beis HaMikdash could be offered up immediately after the daily sacrifice that was sacrificed in the morning. You know, you always started off first with the Tomid Shel Shachar. In other words, we have two Tumidim, we have, you know, Sakeves Echot Haseh Baboker, one lamb is sacrificed in the morning, and then the Sakeves Echot Haseh Bein Habayim. And the second one is to be sacrificed Bein Ha'arbayim, literally between the evenings, which means in the afternoon, okay? So, what was the first thing then? What was the first sacrifice? The answer is with Tomid Shel Shachar. Then, after that, you can have, you know, whatever other sacrifices come along. Could be Musafim, it could be Shlomim, it could be Oilogs, and things like that, you understand? But, what was the last sacrifice that could be brought? The answer is the Tomid Shel Bein Habayim, the one in the afternoon. After that point, there were no more sacrifices in the Beis HaMikdash for that day. That day is finished, okay? All right. So, he says then, why doesn't it say in connection with Mincha, Kol Hayom, all day long, just as it says with Musafim? So, answer number one is that the time of Musaf, Haka is all day long, because once you sacrifice the Tomit Shel Shachris, in other words, the morning sacrifice in the Beis HaMikdash, then Yochel HaHatru Miyad Achad HaMid, you could sacrifice other things. So in came Gam Tfilas Musafim. And if that's the case, the Shmona Esra from Musaf, Yochel HaHispalil Miyad Bin HaBokeh, you are permitted to daven immediately from the morning God. Okay? Which is exactly what we do. I mean, particularly in a day like today, all right, with Rosh Chodesh. All right? Did we wait around until 12 o'clock to daven? No. I mean, about Philip, Baruch Hashem, I mean, he took his time and so on. So that we were lucky to keep a minion over here until the end of the daven.
He went fast enough.
He went fast, but he's used to a certain type, you know. You see, he's essentially accustomed to davening on a Shabbos or a Yom Tov.
So I know it's the Nusach.
Right, you can help in the Nusach. I once tried to teach him the weekday Nusach. It just didn't take. We both gave up. Yeah. You know, Phil Rosenberg, that was his one. Right, yeah.
Did very well.
Yeah, so, you know, he was giving chazanis over there, which in the weekday, maybe we can do it without a little bit of chazanis, because some people don't
know.
Yeah. So, at any rate, our practice then, as Tosfos points out, is the fact that once we've davened chakras, then the next thing, we don't have to wait around, we can immediately daven Musaf. Okay, so that this is the reason why you know, they use the expression kol hayom, but that doesn't mean that you could technically wait with Musaf all day long, technically, before, you know, you daven Musaf. But in reality, this is not what our practice is, because in the morning, you know, when we finish davening chakras, so we go into Musaf.
Okay. Let's say on Yom Kippur that you can daven.
Oh, yeah, yeah. With Yom Kippur, you have a problem. Right. Because if you follow Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, then by 1 o'clock we should get started on the Musaf.
Right.
Which means you have to tailor your sermons accordingly.
You got a long
you have to tailor your chazonis accordingly, and so on and so forth. Right. You know, to try to get started.
Well, if you got a chazonis. Well, Hasidim could daven.
This is correct.
They could, yeah, they have a special dispensation apparently.
That's right. It was the Rebbe who said the Rebbe Meg, so it was the Rebbe's office with Meg.
Rebbe Meg.
Nope. Okay. All right. So Tosfos continues over here and he says, okay, good. So Musaf, no question, can daven all day long. Ma she'ein kein b'mincha, which of course does not apply to mincha. That's why it doesn't say kol hayom, right? Mm-hmm. Because what is the time for mincha? He says ela mishesha usamechza. Because the time for beginning, the earliest time you can daven mincha is 6 hours and a half. In other words, what we would call 12:30, if we were to use the terminology. Okay. That's the earliest time.
The earliest time.
And likewise, we find in the first chapter of the Zohar, it says, "Lo litzli enesh l'slus b'musafin, l'flo asher k'maisa b'reshapa, b'yokin." It says over there that a person should not daven the Musaf service during the first 3 hours of the morning on Rosh Hashanah if he's davening by himself. Well, they give a reason over there, why not? Because it's a time of din, and you know, if he doesn't want to be judged so severely, he should do it in a time when rachamim is
in order.
You know, is the time, so to speak. Okay.
What
do
you
do
when you have to go to work?
No, you have to go to No, Rosh Hashanah means Rosh Hashanah. Okay, that's what Gemara is referring to over there. Hopefully, the only one who works hard over there, I work hard. The rabbi works hard.
It's not work. It's not work.
And anyway, he says it's b'yochid. See, because why? When you daven with a tzibur, you also have the additional zechus, the merit of the congregation. This is why it's so important to daven with a minyan as long as you possibly can. I mean, you know, no question that you yotze with davening as a yochid, by davening by yourself, but the daven with a tzibur is even more meritorious, because you have then the zechus of the tzibur as well.
Okay. So, yeah. So Alma, we see, says Taisus Bishor, you may say Shona, that the other days of the year, except for Rosh Hashanah, right? So Yochel is Palim, and you're permitted, you know, to daven in the first 3 hours of the morning. This reason, he says, this is why in the Mishnah itself they mentioned mincha prior to the law concerning Musa, right? Mishum shehita biro. And there's another reason. It is something that happens all the time, the kol yom, every single day, right? And that's the reason why. What are they mentioning? They're mentioning mincha first. We have, in general, a statement which says todir v'sheino todir, that when you have a choice between that which is customary, which is usual, and that which is unusual, then todir kodim, the usual one, that takes precedence over the other. Well, here it's only as far as the listing is concerned, because, as Taisus points out, even though, in reality, from the point of view of time, Musaf should be recited prior to mincha. Okay? Of course, I mean, this raises a different problem, which I'm not, I'm only pointing it out. What if it happens to be 12:30? Then what should you do on a day in which you have to say Musaf? You didn't say Musaf yet. You understand? Now what happens? Should you daven mincha first on the basis of todir sheino todir, right? That the one which we say all the time takes precedence, so therefore mincha should. Or should we say that, hey, look, according to Rabbi Yehuda, in another half hour, I'm not going to have time anymore to daven musaf, right? Whereas mincha, I have time for several hours yet to come. Therefore, let's grab in the Musaf in this proper time, you know, before the time runs out. So, of course, we posken that you follow the second opinion that I mentioned. Okay, in other words,
you say Musaf
and then we'll wait. Of course, if you have the time, you should. But nevertheless, it's interesting. That is, yeah. No, technically you would say no, but we're concerned. I mean, you notice that in all these cases that we had over here, even though the Chachomim give later times, right, and in an emergency you can rely upon them, but in reality, you know, whose opinion is respected more? The answer is Rabbi Yehuda's opinion.
Stanley's thing would go more in terms of the sacrifices, if you say the last
sacrifice. I understand, correct. And this is a different problem. And we'll see, we'll get into the middle of this problem about davening and sacrifices. Okay? So let's go to the Gemara now. Gemara says, Raminu, we have a contradictory teaching, right, which says mitzvosa im honetz hachama, right, that the mitzvah of saying krishma shmonesra is at sunrise, right, kedesha yisma ki'ula litfilo, so that he could immediately follow the Baruch HaTor Hashem Goal Yisrael, you know, that bracha, okay, in which we speak about the redemption of Israel with the tefillah, with the Shmoneh Esrei itself. So that Nimtza Mispalel Bayom, so that he begins saying Shmoneh Esrei when it is just the beginning of daytime. So in other words, Krishma should be said prior to sunrise, and Shmoneh Esrei should begin at sunrise. Okay? This is the mitzvah. So of course I don't have to tell you, you know, what do we mean by the word mitzvah over here? Does it mean that we must do it, or does it mean that this is a good practice to do it? Right? A righteous practice.
So, of course, in the final analysis, we're going to decide that that's it. Okay. And this is what the Gemara now is going to discuss. It says, Kitanya Hahi says, that particular statement that you just quoted to me, this is the Vosikin. This is the practice of the Vosikin. Vosikin means literally the old pious people, okay? They were very, very anxious, you know, to do the right thing, in to it should be, as we would say, hiddur mitzvah. In other words, to be able to fulfill the mitzvah in its most beautiful and form. In other words, the most proper form, the most beautiful. Well, you want to say that the machmirim. Well, all right, on this point of view, they're very strict, right. They were very strict that they wanted to do it in its most acceptable.
Machmir.
Yeah, machmir.
It's very strict.
Yeah, machmir, right.
How do you say strict?
Well,
machmir
is to be strict.
I'm saying, try to get a big
distinction. No, we don't really. I mean, if you're a machmir, you're a machmir, period. You take the strict point of view, okay?
Yeah.
Of course, I mean, you could add adverbs, you know, like Bachmir Biyod or something like that.
We live, like we have Black Block,
right,
you know.
Right. You have Machmirim. Of course, the opposite of Machmirim are the Kilim, you know. Gumras and Kulos, you see. That's the noun, and, you know, people will do it. One is a Machmir, the other one is a Mekul.
Mekul.
Right. Okay. Mekul is the one who takes the lenient point of view. Okay, and the kula means that there is a lenient point of view too, in connection with this and so on. And then, of course, you have mahadrin, people who like to perform a mitzvah in the most beautiful manner of doing it. And then you have mahadrin min hamahadrin.
Oh boy.
Well, that's an even higher degree of mahadrin. Okay. This is why when you see sometimes in Hechsher, and they'll tell you, you know, this food is the Mahadrin bin Amhadrin, you know. For those who are even more particular than the average person who's particular. Okay, so. Right.
Yeah, I know. There's
Salman.
That's right here.
Right.
Kind of
the commercial publicity. Okay, so what we're saying over here then is that, hey, there's no real contradiction between this last statement, this paraisa that we quoted, and the Mishnah at the beginning, even though the Mishnah says that Tfilas HaShachar Ad Chatzos, that it's until noon, because here we were talking about particularly the custom of the Vesikin, who did it exactly at the moment of sunrise, okay? But does it mean, therefore, that, you know, the rest of the people are necessarily forsaken? No. They get up at different times and so on and so forth, and therefore they get up at other times. Well, who are these forsaken? Rabbi Yochanan, as Rabbi Yochanan said, forsaken hoyagomim losem honesachamo, right? He said that the Vesikin Taka would finish the Kriya Shema at the moment of Honei Tzachamo, at the time when the sun rises. The Chule Yalmo Ad Chatzos, right? But as far as everybody is concerned, until how long could you daven the Shemin Esrei of Shacharis? The answer is until noon. So now the Gemara wants to ask the following question. It says, Vesulo. No, part of the problem with Gemara's is that they don't have punctuation. So you sort of have to be able to guess. Is this
a statement? Or is this
a question? All right. So I'll tell you right now, this is a question. Vesulo. Okay. And no more than that. In other words, that you can't daven the Shachar Shemin Esrei after noon, right? Omar Rav Mori, Berei the Rav Huna, Berei the Rav Yirmi of Rabba, says, did Rav Mori say in the name of Rav Huna, the son of Rav Yirmi of Rabba, Omar Rav Yochanan, in the name of Rav Yochanan? Didn't he say that? Ta'o velo hispalel, a person was in error, made a mistake, and they didn't daven while he's Palel Arvis, right? And they didn't daven Mairav, didn't daven Mairav Shmonesra. So Miss Palel Bishakwishtai, then in Shakwis he has to daven two Shmonesras. Okay?
In Shakwis.
In Shakwis, right.
If he didn't daven it Mairav.
Right. The implication, of course, would be what? That first, the first Shmonesra is the proper one for the tefillah, and then the second one is a makeup. The second one is a makeup. Okay? That's to make up for the one that he missed. Okay? Shachris. What if a person failed to daven the Shmonesra of Shachris? So mispalil b'minchus time, right? Then he can daven at mincha time. He can daven two wise. That is two Shmonesras. First Shmonesra would be for mincha, and the next Shmonesra would be as a makeup Shmonesra for the Shachris one that he missed. So from this we see what? From this we see kula yoma matzlu v'yazav, right? All day long, then we see that he can daven Shmonesra. So why then do we say until Chatzos? So the answer is at Chatzos, until noon. Yahave leischat tefila bizmano. You get the reward for davening in its proper time. But the kamba elech. But if you daven later than that, then schat fila yavela, you'll get reward for davening the Shmonesra, but schat fila bismano liyavela. But the reward for davening, you know, Shmonesra in its proper time, this you're not going to get. Okay? Of course, we had something similar with the Krishna, if you remember. The question was asked at that time. Okay, we said before that what? You should be finished, according to Rabbi Yehoshua's opinion, in that Mishnah, right, by the end, by the third hour, which we say, okay, it means by the end of the third hour, okay? What happens if you didn't say Krishman before then, so therefore you don't say Krishman? The answer is yes, you do say Krishman, but it said the reward for saying Krishman in its proper time, you won't get. You get a reward for saying Krishman. It's like the reward for learning Torah, it says. But you're not going to get the full reward for davening in its proper time. This is what we learned. So it's a similar idea that we have over here. That, pardon me? Of course, absolutely. I mean, there are times, I don't have to tell you, that sometimes emergencies do arise. You know. Unfortunately, it happens sometimes. So in an emergency, you can rely upon these things that we're learning over here. Okay? Alright, so now they ask the following question. Ibolo, question was then raised of them. Toa velo is palel mincha. Let's say that he was mistaken and he did not daven mincha. Mahu she is palel arvis shtayim. So, tell me, should he then daven two shmonesras and arvis? You know, in Mairav? So im timsalema tovelo is palil arvis mispelo shakis shtayim, says if you wish you can reason as follows. When we say that if a person made a mistake and didn't daven mairav at night, we said just a few moments ago that he's permitted to say two shmonesras in shachris. So he says mishum dechad yomahu. Well, after all, it is the same day. It's one day. Okay? Dichsir, but this is written, Vayihiyere, Vayihivoke, Yom Echad, right? This evening is morning. One day. So if you missed with Mairav, then if you make it up in Shachris, well, it belongs to the same day. It's the same time. Okay? I mean, the same hour, but you know, it's the same day. But here, in this case, if we say, I mean, the case of where, let's say, you were unable to daven mincha, right? Either by mistake,
actually would apply also, you know, let's say if something happened, you simply couldn't get around to it because, you know, something was so urgent that you were in the hospital, you just couldn't take the time out in order to do it. What should you do? So, in that particular case, you know, it's say Tush Benesvis and Meir. But the saying about Hocha in this case, Filo Bimkon Korbanhi, isn't prayer supposed to be a substitute for the sacrifice that was offered, right? The cave and the Rabbi Yomo, and we have a principle which says that when the day has passed, Botel Korbono, then its sacrifice is also passed. In other words, let's say that you were supposed to sacrifice a certain type of sacrifice, let's say, on this day, and you didn't get around to it, okay? So, in that particular case, we say, Kevin the Rabbi Yomo Botel Korbono. The moment that the day is gone, you can no longer sacrifice that. I'm thinking, for example, in terms, let's say, you're supposed to sacrifice the tummy, okay? And for some reason or other, an emergency arose, and they were unable to sacrifice the tummy to the Dein Harbein, you know, to Mincha, okay? So, does it mean, therefore, that they could do it at night? No, impossible. Could they do it the following morning? No, also impossible. Because there we have the principle, Kevin Nova Yomo Botel Kabbalah. So now the question is prayer like sacrifice or not? Or does it have a different dimension other than sacrifice? Okay? Oh, Dilmo, or perhaps we should say, Kevon Ditzluso Rachmehi, inasmuch as prayer represents asking the Rabbeinu Shel Olam for pity, for his favor, for his divine guidance. So call Amaz the boy Matzli. As long as he wants to, he should be able to daven. Matzli Biyasu, if he continues daven. Toshwa. So come and listen. Says the Omer Rav Huna Bar Yehuda, Omer Rav Yitzchak Ben Rabbi Yochanan. Rav Huna Bar Yehuda said in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak Ben Rabbi Yochanan, he said, Toho, Below his palil mincha, if a person made a mistake and he didn't daven mincha, his palil arvishtayim, then he has to daven tushman esmas and mairev, right? The yain bazeh, and in this we do not find the application of mishum de ova yomu botel kabono, that, you know, once the day is passed, the sacrifice is gone. So obviously it doesn't apply in this particular case, right? So, in other words, from this Toshma, we see that what would be the din if, for some reason or other, it was impossible for you to daven mincha? So you daven ma'ariv, right? And obviously, it's accepted as the halacha. It is. I mean, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, you'll also find, you know, that it is. Okay. All right. So, however, the Gemara asks the following question: says Meisvei, hey, we have a conflicting opinion. What is it? There's a pasuk in the Sefer Koheles, you know, the book of Ecclesiastes, which says, "Ubos, that which is crooked, lo yuchal ischa, that you cannot straighten out. The chesro, and that which is lacking, lo yuchal imonos, cannot be made up for. Okay, literally cannot be counted for. Now, how do they take this pasuk? What do they apply it to? So they say the case of the crooked which cannot, you know, be made straight, zesh and detailed priyash marshal arbis with priyash marshal shachris, all tefiloshel arbis, all tefiloshel shachris. Okay, this applies to a person who deliberately didn't daven either the Krishma at night or the Krishma in the morning or the Shmona Esra of the evening or the Shmona Esra of the morning. The Chesra in La Yucha Lehimonos, and that which cannot be made up, you know, a lack which cannot be counted again, which cannot be made up. So he says, Zeh Sheninu Chaverun Bar Mitzvah. This refers to a person where his companions, the other people,
were counted for a Dvar Minyan, Dvar Mitzvah, for example, a Minyan, correct, or to go, let's say, and go together to make hospital visits or to go out in charity or something like that. They asked him to come along, and what happened? The Lo Nimnoim
missed.
He didn't. He didn't want to be counted to them. Okay? So he is the Cheswan of Yuchal of Yimonis. All right. So we see that Uves for Yuchal Yitzkon. Therefore, this should apply to a person who did not say Krishma. So how can you say that there is a makeup? So that's what they point out. He says, Rab Yitzchak, Rab Yochanan, Rab Yitzchak said the name Rab Yochanan. He says, Ocho b'may askinon. What are we talking about in this last thing that we just quoted? You know, Uves for Yuchal Yitzchak. He says, Zesh b'tel b'mezik. This is you deliberately refused, you know, to say Krishna. You knew that you had the time, you had the energy, you had everything else, and yet you refused to do it in that particular case. You are mubatal. You say that you have absolutely no use for Krishna, Ishmanesu, what it may be. But the implication is, however, if circumstances were such, either that you forgot, it slipped your mind, unfortunately, because you had too many other things on your mind, or you were delayed in doing something which was of an emergency nature and you couldn't get around to it. So in that particular case, we are permitted. Lomu Ravashi, Ravashi said, Daikonami says, hey, look, examine the language very closely. Dikotoni Bitel. We have learned who cannot do it. It's one Zeshebitel, which means he showed contempt for it. Deliberately did not want to perform the mitzvah, you see. The Lokotoni, but who did not learn Torah. He was mistaken or something happened. Shmamino, from this we can learn that this is how we ought to understand. Okay? All right. Let's continue again with a little bit Tosfos tonight. Torah below his power. That's the next Tosfos that we have over here. All right. Torah below his power. Arvis his power. Shachish time. Okay. If he made a mistake, it says, and he didn't daven Shmenesra and Myra, so he can daven twice in Shachish. So right. Now, if you ask me the following kasha. Omar Rav Lekaman, didn't Rav say further on, this later in this chapter, he says, the Filas Arvis Rishus, that the Shmonesra of the evening is optional. We'll go into that in greater depth when we reach that discussion. The Kaimalon Kavose Visurei, and in general we follow the opinion of Rav when he paskins concerning those things that are permitted or forbidden. V'yoyit kasha, and another kasha that we have, another problem that we have is the Omar Lekaman, where it's written over there, Tor v'lo yispalel yalo v'yovi v'laylo. What happens if a person made a mistake and forgot to say yalo v'yovi in Myrav?
You don't go back and say it all.
All right, so this is how we pass it. So, in Mazirin or so, then we do not cause him to repeat the Shmonesra. Mishum, for what reason? The Ein Mikachin is HaKhoidesh Balayla, because the Bezdin never sanctified the new month at night. In other words, when did they give their decision and proclaim that it was a new month? They did in the daytime, but not at night. Okay? So, for that reason, we don't require you to review and to repeat Shmonesra at night if you forgot to say Yalla V'yom.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, V'lom Olei Ahai, Tama, so what does he have? Why does he need this reason? Typically, the Philosophers of Shus, could he have derived it from the fact that the other statement said, you know, that the Shmonesra Myrav was optional. So the Yesh Leimar. So the answer is Hodam in Tefilas Arvis Rishus when do we say that it is optional, it's Hanu the Gabi Mitzvah Cheres, the Hiobet? It's in connection when you are engaged in another mitzvah which takes priority. Okay? For example, I mean, let's say that you suddenly had to rush somebody to the hospital, you didn't have a chance to say Krishna. Understand? Yeah. So, if you have another mitzvah that which will take priority over this, then in that particular case, if you didn't have a chance to say Shemoneh Esrei at night, and you know, let's say the night passed without you saying Shemoneh Esrei, then in that case, you're excused because it was Rishus.
You don't.
Okay?
You don't have to say two Shemoneh Esrei.
Right. Right. Does I mean? Tidochet filis avis before that, because in that case we say then that let the Irishman Esra be pushed aside because of the other mitzvah which was more urgent. Avol chinom ein lebatal, but to deliberately, you know, not daven the Shman Esra of Naya Pirate, he says that no. Nihu, nevertheless, in Icher ad hamintah, if he waited until Mincha, nearer the Ovar Zmano Botel Korban, then it seems to me, in other words, if he didn't do it in, okay, he didn't do it at night, he didn't do it in Shabbos, you understand? And he waited till Mincha, and he said what? He's the first Shemoneh Esrei is for Mincha, right?
Right.
What is the second Shemoneh Esrei? Huh? No, Shabbos he said.
Oh, he said so.
For the night before? So this Tosfos already says this is a case of Kevandov or Yomo Botel Korbona. I mean, he might cavil with it, but the idea being that if he waited this long, then Itaka, you know, then he's lost out on that, okay? The sacrifice is it's cancelled. It's no good anymore.
This is a mincha for
Ma'ariv. No, we said the mincha Ma'ariv. The question was asked, if you remember, whether if he forgot to say it in mincha, we said specifically that he could say a Ma'ariv to Shemoneh Esrei. That we did say.
Or if he
but let's say, you know, he didn't say Krishna. I didn't say Shemoneh Esrei the night before. Okay. What should he have done? He should have made it up in Shabbos by saying
to
but let's say he didn't do it at that time, okay?
He's back to Mincha.
And he waited now at Mincha, suddenly, hey, maybe I should make it up. So they say, no, it's too late. You waited too long.
I have a question.
Yeah.
And we also just learned that Ma'ariv and Shakti Yechida, Yom Echad, right?
Yeah,
so also
right.
This would also include
right.
Mincha. It's
right.
Also,
you
know,
I mean, they pointed out right that it's one day, so therefore you shouldn't feel, you know, that there's no place for it. But nevertheless,
that reasoning
doesn't hold over here, right? That you deliberately set it aside and get around to it, and, you know, what didn't concern you not to do it all this time, and you're first doing it now. So to this we can now apply the principle of Kevin Nova Yomi Botel Kodon. Kevin Sheshoho Kolchak, because he waited so long. Okay. Ulacha based Philois Lemotsinu Shetiktu Chachomim Lasso. And after two davenings have passed, we do not find that Chachomim said that you can make it up the third time around. You understand?
Okay.
Yeah.
How many chances they want to get? You want
right. One chance, fine, okay. Right. So you have two davenings, all right, but not three davenings. Im shachach is begat. Va'afilo tefila achas im bitel b'mezit, and even one Shemoneh Esrei. If you deliberately did not want to say it, you purposely didn't say it, then lo yuchal v'sifar. That you cannot correct, right? The sum of Kori Lai Me'uvas La Yuchal Disko. This is where the verse, you know, Me'uvas, you've done a crooked thing that you can't correct anymore. Okay. Now, the third Tosfos, or the fourth Tosfos, the third one to the nun's page, asks the following question. Says, Iboilabu. Remember that they asked the following question, Tovalo Yispailo Tfilas Mincha. What happened, you know, if you didn't daven Mincha? So, Loi Boy in Tovalo Yispailo Tfilas Musa. So they say, you notice that the wording is such, it doesn't say what would happen if he made a mistake and he didn't daven Musa. They ask what happens if you didn't daven Shachris, right, or didn't daven Ma'ariv, or you didn't daven Minta, okay? But the one question that they didn't ask is what? What happens if you didn't daven Musaf? The whole Vaday Enu Mispaleo Barabbas. This certainly you cannot daven at Ma'ariv time. The Hech Yikras HaKorbanos, because how could he read the Korbanos that we say in the Musaf, you know, like, the Shabbos or Rosh Chodeshim and so on and so forth, right? The Chvor Mar Zaman Musaf, the time of this additional sacrifice is already over, so you can't do it. The Gamlo Tiknu Sheva Brocho Shel Musaf El Mishum, and besides, he says, why did they ordain the Sheva Brochos, which means the Shmona Esrei of Musaf? Why they call it Sheva Brachos? This has nothing to do with the marriage. Where we talk about Sheva. No. There are seven brachos, right. You know, the first three brachos, you know, Oveis, Geburais, and Kedusha, right? And then the last three brachos, beginning with Tzei through the end of Sim Shalom and so on. This is the same for all the tefillos, okay? What, however, it's the middle that's different.
Right.
The middle of the Musaf only has one bracha. Like, for example, he started with, you know, Rosh HaKadoshim, and then Baruch HaTar Hashem, the Karish Yisrael, Rosh HaKadoshim. So it's only one. On Shabbos, of course, would be, you know, beginning with the count of Shabbos, let's say, and, you know, Baruch HaTar Hashem, the Karish HaShabbos, etc. Alright? So, on Shabbos or Yom Tov, we normally have only seven brachas in the okay, so Musaf also has only Sheva Brachos. So, what? Why was Musaf specifically ordained? El Mishum and the Shama from Swasenu, specifically for the fact that, as the Prophet Hosea said, with our lips we will fulfill the obligation to sacrifice bullocks. Okay, in other words, sacrifices. Our davening takes the place of the sacrifices. Okay. Uvazev vadai. And so if this is the case, here definitely Ovar Zmano, Botel Karbono. Once the time of that sacrifice is gone, then there's no question that, you know, the sacrifice is no good anymore. Avol Shor Tefilos, however, the other davenings, the Rachmei Ninhu, which are begging the Rabbeinu Shalom to favor us with his grace and his goodness and so on, to answer our petitions and so on. So he says, Halavai, he says, says Ulavai, that's like the, we would say Halavai, okay? Halavai says, would that Sheyispale Lodom Kol Hayom Kulei, Halavai that the person would daven all day long to the Rabbeinu Shalom. The Ein Kam of Azmanoi B'Tfilah Cheres. And we do not have then the principle of Oras Bado in connection with any other, you know. Okay.
We don't have the...
Yeah.
What would you use the Aramaic term again? What was the English? We don't have the something... I didn't get it, because it was in Aramaic. Could you just do the last phrase here?
Well, the Vaishi is probably Lodom Kalayom Kolo, right? Would that a person would daven all day long? The Ein Kan, and we do not have here, Kan means here. In other words, and in this case, we do not have here Ovar Zmano, that once its time is gone, but, you know, as we said, you know, then Botel Kobono, right? So that doesn't apply to Tfila Acheres in any other prayer, which means, therefore, that since when we daven Shmoneh Esrei at Ma'ariv, let's say, okay, We're asking Rabbeinu Shalom for all kinds of favors. We beg mercy of him and everything else. So that therefore, if for some reason or other we had made a mistake or we had an emergency that, you know, did not enable us to daven Maariv at night, so what did we say? We said you could do it the following morning. And this has no application. This is not an application of, you know, once the sacrifice is gone, you know, Kevin Nova Yom, once the day is gone, you can no longer do it. And that's why we apply it, even that if you forgot it Mincha and you couldn't do it. And what did we say? We said that you could do it in Maariv, and we don't apply the principle of Orva Yomo Botel Kora. So this is what Tosfos is saying. Okay. Well, we'll continue a little bit further and then we'll take a break so we can go home and hear what's happening in the world.
Right.
Tana Rabba. Our sages have taught us and says, Tovalo Yispalo Mincha Be'erev Shabbos Yispalo Bilei Shabbos Shlein. Alright, what happens if it was Erev Shabbos, right? And for some reason or other, he didn't say the Shemoneh Esrei of Mincha, Erev Shabbos. So what should he do to make up for it? I mean, we said before that if you miss, you know, Mincha, you can make it up in Maariv. Mm-hmm. All right, so God's good. On a weekday, is there a problem? No, no. Because we're saying the same Shemoneh Esrei. Mm-hmm. So we're saying the same Shemoneh Esrei twice, okay?
And you eat your Asher too.
Yeah, that's correct. Because we'll learn also, I mean, the Shulchan Aruch Paschals, you know, that you should say something in between. So, you know, you don't simply say Shemoneh Esrei one and then Shemoneh Esrei two. One on top. Say something in between. Naturally, what would we say in between? If it happens to be the Mincha that you skip, then in that particular case, you should say
the
Ashrei in between. Before, huh? In between, right. The first Shemoneh Esrei, as we said, this is for the Maariv. Okay? Then you say Ashrei, and then you say the Shemoneh Esrei a second time, and that counts as the makeup for the Mincha that you
say
missed. Yeah, then you say Aleinu. You don't have to say Aleinu twice. One Aleinu is enough. Okay?
But
Ashrei should be said.
But now, because it's Shabbos.
All right. Shabbos. Here the problem is with Shabbos. Shabbos, we know already, is a different problem.
Yes.
Right, right.
What do you do in the morning?
In the morning?
You don't say Maariv.
Yeah, well, in that particular case, you should say Kriya Shema in between. Like an optional Kriya Shema or something like that, okay? Yeah. Say an optional Kriya Shema.
Right. You don't say Shabbos.
Right.
You don't say
yeah, right.
What do you do?
Well, no, you mean if you miss Shabbos?
Yeah. You thought of it as with Maariv, not saying that.
Yeah, yeah.
Now
so I would say like Krishna in between or something like that. Yeah, right. Because after all, Krishna should be followed by Shemoneh Esrei. Understand? So that if you were throwing a Krishna, an additional Krishna, it's not that you're saying Krishna in its proper time, that you did the time that you davened, hopefully, right? But you're doing this as optional, like Torah study or something in between. Understand? Yeah, right, right. And then you'll say Shemoneh Esrei again. Yeah.
Well, you miss Shacharis, that's gone, period. You cannot make that up.
No, you make it up to Mincha.
You can't
so.
Make it up.
It says so. You have it.
Yeah.
Sure. Look at it again. Okay. Tov l'spalel Arbis, right? Didn't say Maariv, then mispalel v'shacharis time, right? Then it says Shacharis. And what if you missed the one for Shacharis? Then it's followed by Mincha Shtayim.
Okay.
You see it over there? When you say...
But the only thing you say is the Shemoneh Esrei.
Essentially saying the Shemoneh Esrei, but you always add an additional paragraph or something, so that's why I suggest say, you know, say the Shemoneh. So it would be, you know, very appropriate. Okay? Alright. But of course, now we have the additional problem. That if Erev Shabbos you forgot, you know, you made a mistake or whatever it was, you had an emergency, you weren't able to daven Shemoneh Esrei, then what? So we say, Mispalel
the Leil Shabbos Shtayim, and you have to daven Friday night, you have to daven Tushman Esrus. Okay?
Which one do you say? Oh,
this is the question. Okay? All right, so what do you say? No. Hold it. We're talking about
Shabbos.
Erev Shabbos. Friday afternoon. You had no chance to say Minhag. Okay? Right. Okay? Not deliberately, but, you know, as we said before, you know, accidentally, whatever it may be. Okay? You had no chance to double. So it says now, in that case, Friday night, you know, Leil Shabbat. So you have to daven Shmoneh Esrei twice, okay?
Right, if I can ask the obvious question. What do you say before the second?
What do you say before the second one? Say Ashrei. Say Ashrei. Doesn't do any harm.
Which Shmoneh Esrei do you say, though?
This is what the question is. Should you be davening can you daven a Shabbos Nikah Shmoneh Esrei and then follows with the Machat Nikah Shmoneh Esrei?
It doesn't
follow. The answer
is
it's not proper. Okay, that's not proper. Okay?
So you would have to say the Shabbos Nikah Shmoneh Esrei.
Correct. So you say a Shabbos Nikah Shmoneh Esrei twice.
Right.
Okay. Followed Mincha b'Shabbos, and what if you had no opportunity to daven Mincha and Shabbos? I suppose, let's say you took a nap, it was already a mire of time when you got up, okay, although actually you should have had at least your wife wake you up earlier, correct? But yeah. Let's say
he's going out of the house.
You can't set an alarm clock.
Okay. But, you know, you didn't do it deliberately, but you had every good intention of doing it, but somehow or other you didn't do it, right? So in that case, Mispalei b'Motzei Shabbos Shtayim. Okay, so Motzei Shabbos, you have to daven again Tushman Esrus Shel Chol. Here it says specifically it has to be to Vachadurke Shmoneh Esrus. Okay, in other words, not the first one Shabbos, the first one Vachadurke, and the second one
Shabbos
Dik, that you can't do either. So you have to daven two Vachadikah Shmoneh Esrus. Mavdil b'Rishayno, he recites Havdolah in the first one, you know, Atach Nantonu. Recite that in the first of Shmoneh Esrus. The Yeinu Mavdil b'Shniyo, and you do not recite Havdolah in the second one.
You leave out that paragraph.
Yeah, right. V'yim Hivdil b'Shniyo, but what? Let's say you said Havdolah in the second Shmoneh Esrei below Hivdil b'Rishayno, and you didn't, and you forgot to say Shmoneh Esrei in the first, you forgot to say Havdolah in the first Shmoneh Esrei, so it says Shniyo also low, and in that particular case, the second one, the one in which you mentioned the Havdolah, this counts. But Rishayno low also low. The first one doesn't count.
You
have to do it for the time.
Precisely.
Oh boy.
Okay.
We're going to be late for the movie.
Yeah. The Neymar is this to say then, the Kabun de lo Hivdil b'Kamaisa, that is inasmuch as he didn't make Abdullah in the first Shmoneh Esrei. Right, so the Gamandalay Tzolik Domi, it's as if he had not davened at all, because we just said that if he made it, you know, if he got to say it in the first one, and
he said it
only in the second one, so that the first one doesn't count, so that's what they want to know. Are we to say then that inasmuch as he didn't say Abdullah in the first one, it's as if he didn't count? And they make him go all over again, right? Say Shmoneh Esrei once more. Brahminhu. So we contradict that because we have another teaching which says,
what would happen if a person forgot to say Marsha for Ruach in the Brach of Tachiyas HaMesim, which is of course, you know, after Mechalk Yochai Mechesson and so on, okay? After Gibor, so that's called the Tachiyas HaMesim, alright. Usha Eloh, or the request for rain, the Birkas Hashanim, that's what we mean by Talamot, okay? What happened if you forgot to say that? Marzirin also, then he has to repeat it. We make him repeat the Shemoneh Esrei over again. Well, we'll come to the details when we work it out next week, okay? But let me just finish this thought.
Yeah, all right.
But Havdolo Bechenen Hadoas Ein Marzirin also, but if a person forgot to say Havdolo in Ato Chenen Leon Das, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then in that case, a matzir no so, we do not require him to say it over again. Why? Because he can say Havdalah, you know, says Havdalah over the wine, right? So let's say Kasha. So it's Taka Akasha.
That's
well, we haven't answered that question. All right. At any rate, we'll take a halt at this particular point. We'll continue from here.
So the thing on Friday afternoon, if you miss Mincha on Friday afternoon,
right.
You say Mr. Amida on Friday night, and
right.
You say which Amida?
Shabbos.
So it'd be the Shabbos Mincha Amida would come after.
Yeah, not the Shabbos, but the Shabbos Mara for me.
You'd say the Shabbos Maariv.
Right, you'd say it over twice. But you should say like an Ashrei.
Yeah, but you would say the Shabbos Maariv.
Make a distinction, right. Yeah.
Oh, you got
it. Eric, they posed the question that if he forgot to say Havdalah on the first Shemoneh Esrei, the question whether they're going to make him repeat the whole Shemoneh Esrei, it involves the fact that he said the Havdalah the second time.
All right, correct. But in the meantime, if we say that then the second one counts as the first one, right?
Then what
so
do you
have to make up?
You have to make up the
Mincha. But when it counts as first one, he has to do the Havdalah for the second time.
Right.
So he has to say it a third time.
So he has to say Shemoneh Esrei the second time, okay?
Second time was to replace
or
the
third time was to replace. Right.
The first time was for Motzei Shabbat. The second time was supposed to be for Mincha.
Right, the makeup for Mincha, correct. But by forgetting to say Havdalah in the first time around and saying it in the second time, so we say we count the one the second time as number one time.
Right, so
but that leaves him, right,
that
he still has
the makeup,
right. And the makeup, therefore, would be, you know, a regular Vachadik HaShmanes, but he doesn't have to say Havdalah. But the objection to this is the fact that we learned what? That it is, what should happen if you forget to say Atoch HaNantono and Shmanes? You could make, you don't have to repeat the Shmanes again, because you'll be making Havdalah over the Kos. So one contradicts the other. So it says Taka Kasha. It remains.
It's a
Kasha. We haven't answered that question.
You can't answer.
Right? You're on.
Okay. All right. So we'll start. We'll do our little rapid review on Chov Vav, the second side. That's page 52. In plain English.
Okay.
Okay. And we come over here to a point of difference between the Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanino, and Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Difference of opinion as to whether the Shmoneh Esrei, so what we call tefillos, in other words, you know, chakras, and Mincha Marv, who started it, or what is behind it? Okay, so it says Itmar. Let's see, how many lines down? 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. It's on the 12th line from the top. Second word from the end. Okay. Itmar was learned that Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chinin Omar, he said, Tefilos Ovos Tiktum, that it was the fathers of the Jewish people who founded the idea of three daily services, Shachris, Mincha, and Maariv. Okay? In other words, it was Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And Rabbi Shua ben Levi Omar, he said that Tefilos Keneged Tamin Tiktum, says that the prayers, services actually were meant to correspond to the time that the Tamidim, in other words, the daily sacrifices, were offered in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay? Remember again, what about the daily sacrifices? I mean, we say it, if you say it in the morning, you know. Kadima thought it got skipped, by the way.
Which part
there's
of that?
A paragraph that says, Tavitz B'nai Yisrael. This is my burnt offering, right? Then it says afterwards, you know, it's hakeves echod taaseh baboker. One lamb is to be slaughtered, you know, is to be sacrificed in the morning. It's hakeves hasheni taaseh beinaboyim, and the second lamb is to be sacrificed bein haadbayim, literally between the evenings.
It's part of the It's before. Okay.
And this is also the reading, incidentally, that begins the reading for Rosh Chodesh, because that chapter, you see, Salves B'nai Yisrael, speaks first of the daily sacrifices, which, as I mentioned, is Keves Echot Baboka and Keves Bein Arbayim, right? And then after that you have a Yom HaShabbos, and on Shabbos we have additional one. And then of course for Rosh HaChechem you have additional one. And then of course for Pesach and the Shavuos and Sukkos, you know, and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, what are all the additional sacrifices that we bring? And naturally, what is the term that we use for the additional sacrifices? Because these were always brought in addition to the daily sacrifices. The answer is what we call musafim. Mm-hmm. Okay? So, if you remember the opening Mishnah of this chapter mentions a difference of opinion. It starts by saying Tfilas HaShachar HaKshos, right? That the morning tefillah, the morning prayer service, right? You can say until noon, right? Mm-hmm. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer Adalit Shoris. It says only until the fourth hour. And this we will discuss as we go along on Chof Zayin over there. Okay? Now, Tfilas HaMincha, the Mishnah says, right? So the Mincha service is Ad O'Erv until evening, in other words, until sunset, right? Mm-hmm. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer at Lakamincha. Rabbi Yehuda says only through halfway through the mincha. And again, of course, this is going to require elaboration, explanation. Right? Filasa erev eino keva. As far as Maariv is concerned, there is no fixed time for it. In other words, it doesn't have to be confined to a certain time frame. It could be any time after, you know,
after
the
sundown.
Evening begins, or if we'll see, Rabbi Yehuda has a different opinion, but we didn't get to it this yet, until the time that the Amud HaShachar, until the time that the morning HaShachar is okay. The Shel Musafim, and how about Musaf? So, according to the Chachamim, it's Kol Hayom, it's all day long. But Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ad Zayin Shos, he says only until the seventh hour. Right. Seventh hour would mean, in other words, as we'll see, it means until 1 o'clock. After 1 o'clock, it's no longer the right time for Musaf and Musaf. Okay? That's according to Rabbi Yehuda. All right. Now, of course, this is all based upon what? So this is what they're trying to explain right now.
Mm-hmm.
Basic problem is this.
if we say that philos obos tignum, that it was, you know, the fathers of our people, you know, who set aside the, you know, the, who ordained that we should daven three times a day, then in that case we could understand also, you know, the fact that the Chachamim give a lengthier period for the time that you could daven. In other words, let's say Shabbos, you could daven until noon, according to them, right? Musaf, as we'll see, you can daven until, let's say Musaf, you can daven all day, as long as the sun hasn't set yet, right? Mincha, you can daven until sunset, okay? This is the rule. But if you go according to Rabbi Yehuda, and he apparently is following the second opinion, the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, okay, then we would have to say that he says, look, in the Beis HaMikdash, they had a set time for the sacrifice. Truth of the matter is that the morning sacrifice was started even prior to sunrise. After the sky was already a little bit light, so there was a priest in charge, he was to look out for that, and he would say Barkai. In other words, the morning star has already appeared, and you could already begin, you know, the various preparations that have to be done for the morning sacrifice. So that they didn't really normally wait around until, let's say, 10 o'clock in the morning before doing it. But nevertheless, in an emergency, the point is that it could have been until that time. Now, the same thing with Mincha. We'll discover that the normal time for Mincha, that is the sacrifice of Mincha, was 9.5 hours during the day, which would mean what? Would mean approximately 3:30 in the afternoon, because that was the usual time for the sacrifice of the Mincha service. Now, in between, of course, in the Beis HaMikdash, you had other sacrifices that people would bring for all kinds of reasons. If it were a Yontif, you know, a Shabbos or a Yontif, where they had to give additional sacrifices, so then they did not have private sacrifices as a normal rule, but instead they had only public sacrifices. All right. So, getting back again over here. All right, so we see then that there is a basic difference of opinion between Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, right, who says that it was the ancestors of the people, of our Jewish people, who did it, and Rabbi Shimon Levi said it was Tfilos Keneged Tamidim Tikkun, that the prayer services were meant to correspond to the sacrifices in the Beis HaMikdash. Mm-hmm. And the Gemara now continues and says, Tanya Kapos in Rabbi Yosei Barabba Chanina. We have learned statements that support the opinion of Rabbi Yosei Barabba Chanina. But Tanya Kapos in Rabbi Yosei Ben Levi. And we've also learned supporting views, you know, for Rabbi Yosei Ben Levi. So Tanya Kapos in Rabbi Yosei Barabba Chanina. What supported, you know, Rabbi Yosei Barabba Chanina? So we've learned. What? Abraham tikkun tefillah shachris. Abraham is the one who ordained the shachris service, shachris prayer. Shenemar, because we have a pasuk. The pasuk says, "Vayashkim Abraham b'avokel el hamokim shomatcha." Okay, that Abraham rose up early in the morning to the place where he was standing. And they say, "V'ein amida." What do we mean by standing? Standing, "V'ein amida ela tefila." Amida, standing, implies prayer. Shenemar v'yamoid Pinchas v'yafala. Because we have another pasuk that says that Pinchas stood and he prayed. So therefore, by equating the two, we see that if it refers to Abraham, it says that he stood in this particular place early in the morning, then obviously what was he doing? He was davening. Okay, this is the implication.
What is the presence of what episode did Abraham inspire?
Oh,
this is with the destruction of Sodom. It's written over there, you know, after the angels started into, you know, destroy the city of Sodom, so it's written over there by Yashkimah from Apoka that Abraham woke up early in the morning, right? And he stood before God, and then, you know, he looked out upon what was going on over there in Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, and he saw that the smoke was rising from the place and so on and so forth. Okay. So, if you take it literally, it doesn't mean necessarily that he was davening.
No.
But our sages don't take it literally.
They take
it, you know, from the point of view of teaching us something. What are they teaching us? Obviously, Avraham Avinu. Could you imagine that Avraham Avinu would stay and not pray on behalf after all? Prior to the destruction, didn't he plead with God?
Sure.
You know, if there were 50 tzaddikim, would you destroy? If there were 40, if there were 30, etc., etc., remember? So he prayed on behalf of the people of Sodom. He tried to save them and so on. So even now, at this moment of destruction, he was also praying on their behalf. So, therefore, we see that Abraham stood and he prayed, and the proof for that is the fact that Pinchas also, we have a similar expression, Vayavod Pinchas, Vayefaleel. There it says specifically Vayefaleel that he prayed.
I don't know the Pinchas episode at all.
Pinchas. If you remember, after the business, you know, where Balak, king of Moab, hired Bilam in order to curse the people of Israel. Okay? And then, what happened? According to the advice of Bilam, the Moabites gave their daughters over that they should commit adultery with the people of Israel, and that way enticed them. And as a result, they worshipped the god of the Moabites, Peor. Okay? And the punishment was, you know, that a plague overtook the people of Israel at that particular point. So, in Tehillim, where this verse comes from, it says, "Vayamod Pinchas vayefalel vatayotzer habagecha," that Pinchas stood and he prayed, and as a result, the magefa, you know, the plague, was stopped. Okay? So from this we see that the expression Amod and Vayefaleel, you see, are equated with each other. All right, so far for Abraham. Now, how about Yitzchak? It's written that Yitzchak tikein Pilas Pinchas. It was Yitzchak who ordained the Pinchas service to Neymar. Vayetze Yitzchak l'tzuach basudah tezkorah. Right? That Yitzchak went out in order literally to commune in the field before evening. The Ein Sicha, and there is no communication, or literally, today we use the word Sicha for a conversation or something like that. But here it meant, you know, like meditation or communication, whatever you wish, all right? The Ein Sicha, there's no meditation. Elotvila. This expression again can only refer to prayer.
Prayer. What would you have to do right now?
Okay. This is in connection with the fact that when Rebecca was brought to Yitzchak's house by Eliezer, servant, right? So it's written over there that Yitzchak went out into the field. Just prior to the evening, in other words, it was in the afternoon. And, you know, then, of course, if you remember, Rebecca saw him and she asked the servant, you know, who is this man? He said, he is my lord, he's my master. In other words, he's the man, you know, that you're going to marry.
so that she fell off the camel, okay?
Fell for her right away.
Yeah, right, she fell for him immediately. So,
she was 3 years old at the time for doing
that. Well, according to one view. Okay. So that, all right. Now, how do we know that the word sicho refers to prayer? So it says, Yein sicha tefillah, right? The sicho can only refer to prayer. Shenemar, as it is written, tefillah le'yone kiyatov, it's supposed to contain. It says, this is a prayer of the poor man, or according to what is, it means the sick person, kiyatov, when he is overwhelmed by problems, Belifte Hashem, Yisprok Sikha. What does he do? He pours forth his conversation, if you wish. But he pours forth, you know, his sorrows, you know. He talks to the Veda Shalem at this particular point. So from this we see, I mean, what is Sikha? Sikha has to mean prayer. You're praying to God, you see. How about Yaakov? Yaakov became Philosarvis. Okay, he ordained Myra. Shenemar Bayivka Babmokom. It's written over there that he chanced upon the place by Yolansham, and he spent the night over there, right? Mm-hmm. All right. Now, of course, this is where he had the dream, right? After he left Be'er Sheva, he started on his way to Choron, right? So it's written there, Vayivka Bamokom, Vayolam Shom, Kikua Shemesh. And, you know, he lodged there because the sun had set, all right? So, Vayivka Bamokom, he says, Ve'ein Pegio, this expression of Pegio also, Elot Philo, this also refers to prayer. Shenemar, as it is written, and this is a pasuk that we find in Yirmiyahu, where the prophet is told, "Be'afor al tispalel be'avolam, do not pray on behalf of the people, ba'ad ha'maseh, on behalf of this people, be'al tisa ba'adom minos fila, and do not raise on their behalf either song or prayer, be'al tibgabi." What literally entreat me, okay? So we see that Pagia, so Vayivka Bamokam means that the Yaakov also, he davened to the Beit Shalom, who is Hamokam Borachum, right? In that particular place, and it was Marv time. How do we know it was Marv time? Because, as I said, the sun had set and he wanted to lodge over there. Okay, so Gan's fine. So far we've learned then, according to these statements, we've learned psukim that indicate what? That philos always take note. All right. And how about the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who said it was in accordance with the sacrifices? Yeah. So Tanya Kavosi, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, he says, "Mipnei ma'omru tefilas hasharha hatzos." Why did they say? This happens to be in the Tosefta of this quotation. Why did they say that you could daven shacharis until noon? Sheharei tomen shol shachar kor v'hulach ha'atzos. Because the morning daily sacrifice could be sacrificed until noon. This, of course, remember, is the opinion of the Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer at arba shalos. He says only until 4 o'clock. Until the fourth hour. Sheharei tomen shol shachar kor v'hulach ha'atzos. Because the morning sacrifice was sacrificed only until the fourth hour. All right. Mipnei ma'omru tefilas ha'mincha ad la'erev. And why did they say that the prayer of mincha is only until evening? Sharei tomin shel abayim kor v'hilach ad la'erev. Because, again, the daily sacrifice that had to be brought in the afternoon was sacrificed until the evening, it could be sacrificed until evening time. Rabbi Huda Emer at Laga Mincha, Rabbi Huda says, only until halfway through the Mincha time. Sharei Tomin Shobain Harbayim, Korim Vahilachat Laga Mincha. Because the afternoon sacrifice was sacrificed only until Lag HaMincha, literally halfway through the Mincha time.
Lag means
halfway through the afternoon.
Lag means half?
Lag means half over here, right. And why did they say that the evening tefillah has no fixed measure? In other words, it has no fixed time. Because we find that the avorim are different limbs of the animal. Of course, you know, when you have burnt offerings, so, you know, the burnt offering had to be consumed in flame. And even parts of other sacrifices, even those that were eaten, let's say, some were eaten only by the Kahanim, by male Kahanim. Others could be eaten by the people who brought the sacrifices. This is the characteristic of Shlomim himself, okay? So, in any case, certain parts of the animal, however, had to be sacrificed on the altar, okay? Chalev had to be sacrificed. Kidneys and so on, okay? But it's a chalev on the kidneys. It had to be offered on the altar, okay?
Yeah.
So,
if
there wasn't time enough for these things to be consumed by sunset, then they could be burnt all night long. They could remain on the altar and burn all night long until they were consumed, okay? So these are the Avarim. What are the Pedarim? Pedarim is like certain fats, particularly of fowl. Okay? So these also were burnt on the altar. Okay. So if they were not consumed in the Erev, as it says on the Kedmah from Kalalai, they could be burnt off. And why did the Chacham say that the various additional sacrifices could be burnt, brought all day long? That is, we could daven b'sofim all day long. Sharei korban shel b'sofim korev kol hayom, because the sacrifice of musaf was brought all day long. Rabbi Yehuda Omer ad sheva shoreis, but Rabbi Yehuda says until the seventh hour. Because he said that the Korban Musaf was sacrificed through the seventh hour. Alright. So now they ask another question. They ask as follows. The Ezehi Mincha Gedela. Now what do we mean, they say, by Mincha Gedela? Literally, the big Mincha type. So it's Meshei Shosemetze Ulamala. So the answer is, this is the period of time that begins at 1/2 hour past noon, and, you know, and continuing, okay? In other words, what is the earliest time that we are permitted to daven on? The answer is at 12:30.
12:30.
Right. This is, like in many yeshivas or minyanim like you have in New York, you know, where you have many, many minyanim. The Mincha and the Garment Center and the Wall Street and God knows where else and so on. But they make Binyanim.
So they have a 12:30 Mincha.
That's the earliest time that they could daven Mincha. Now obviously under those circumstances they daven Mincha and that's it. They don't daven Maror.
No.
So,
this is the
earliest time to daven Mincha, right? Begins at 12:30.
Right.
And
the Ezei Mincha Ketano. And what do we mean by Mincha Ketano? Little Mincha time.
So the answer is Mitesha Semechze Ulamala. This is from the 9.5 hours. Etc. up to whatever may be. Okay, until sunset is the idea. Until sunset.
So when is 9.5 hours?
9.5 hours would be 3:30 in the afternoon.
Nine and a half hours from where? From when?
From
from the time that they burn.
Oh,
right. Remember I explained.
Yeah.
Right, you know, that the time, you know, you take from sunrise to sunset,
divided
by 12.
Yeah.
And
you get the number of
exactly
watch hours.
Right. So that this is how you determine it.
Right.
And this is why
9.5 hours from.
Right. So 9.5 hours from the time that they started, and again, I mean by hours, remember, I don't mean necessarily hours by our clock,
right.
But I mean hours according